When I preached on this subject in 1992, we just had three messages. I preached again on it in 1997. We had six messages. 2005, we ended up with 12 messages. But we're going to be thinking about, again, family life, training children, and building on all that we've been saying in previous messages. Today we're going to talk about the Lord's Day. And we have 2 points. And point number one, keeping Sunday special, or in the language of Exodus chapter 20, keeping the Sabbath day holy. And what does the fourth commandment say? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you should do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So keeping the Sabbath day holy is not just for mums and dads. It's for sons, daughters. Indeed, the command is addressed to the whole family, the whole worshipping community. Well, somebody's thinking, what's all this got to do with training of children? Hasn't the Sabbath day passed? Isn't every day special? Do we really, as families, is it really that important in bringing up our children to know the Lord? Is it really that important to keep Sunday special? Well, let me direct you to a message I preached on the 30th of November 2003, and to get the CD of that. It's on keeping Sunday special, and there's a full exposition of keeping this day now, today. It's an abiding commandment. But this morning, why do parents need to teach and train their children to keep the Lord's Day? Why is it important? Well, number one, because God himself keeps it. We read from Genesis chapter 1, didn't we? And Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, what do we read? Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth, excuse me, and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had, from all his work which God had created and made. So God made the cosmos in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. In fact, God does more than rest on the seventh day. He sets the seventh day apart. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. It's a day which God says is different to the other six. There's a uniqueness about this day. It's a day in which God particularly delights. And there's a very unusual verse almost. It's Exodus 31 verse 17. It says this: For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now, perhaps you can identify with what's going on here. You work on a project. At last the project comes to completion. What do you feel? Well, you feel a sense of elation, don't you? Satisfaction, achievement. It's a job well done. And the rest that follows is all the sweeter for it. And so God, having made the universe in 6 days, looks down upon what he has made, and he says it is very good. We can say it reverently, it's a job well done. And to mark the completion of his work, to highlight God's sense of satisfaction and joy, God calls the seventh day special, and he blesses it. It says in it, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. The seventh day is a celebration of completeness. It's done, finished. And on that day, God is refreshed. He enjoys that day of rest in a unique and special way. Now then, what is it to be human? To be human is to be made in the image of God. What does that mean? It means I am to be like God in everything. Godlikeness. Or as we read it in the New Testament, godliness. But of course we are ungodly. We're fallen sinners. So although we bear God's image, that image is spoiled, corrupted, defaced. Now then, what are we doing when we train our children? We are restoring in them the image of God. In the words of John Milton, the end of learning is to repair the ruins of our first parents by regaining to know God aright, and out of that knowledge, to love Him, to imitate Him, and to be like Him. So do you see? When we train our children, what are we doing? We are repairing and restoring in them the image of God, so that they become like Him. And so on this subject, on the Lord's Day, what does it mean to be like Him? Well, if godliness is to be like God in everything, then I and my children must therefore follow God's rhythm, God's pattern. We too are to imitate God's pattern of work and rest. What is God's pattern of work and rest? He works 6 days, He rests on the seventh. 6 days work, 1 day rest. And we're not just to follow God's pattern. We're to imitate, we're to follow God's keeping of His day. If God says, this is my special day, it's different from all the others, then if we and our children are to be like Him, we too must call it His special day, unlike all the others. We too will bless it and sanctify it, and it'll be unlike the other 6 days. And as we do so, like God, we will be refreshed. Do we really want to keep our children from such things? Well, number two, the Sabbath was made for man. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Sabbath simply means rest. Now think about it. Adam lived in paradise. Every day he walked with God. Every day he was perfectly happy. He had the perfect job, the perfect marriage, the perfect wife. And yet on the heart of this perfect man, God wrote his law of keeping 1 day in seven special. Now, why did Adam need a Sabbath? Because the center of Adam's life was not his work, was not his family. The center of his life was God. His first full day. What is it? It's the Sabbath day. This day for Adam brought symmetry, brought balance into his world. It was for him to bring him again to his God, to delight again in his Maker. Now, if a perfect man in a perfect world needs 1 day in seven, how much more we, sinners, in a fallen world, where it's my very nature to forget God? That's why we read, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God's not introducing something new. It's not a new commandment. It's an old one to be reminded about. Remember. He's reminding his people of a day which has been there in place since the beginning of creation. God has given this day to us for our good. That's why he commands us to remember it. How then can I deny what is good to my children? How can I keep the good, the blessing of this day from my children? Well, number three, because it's a day of Christ's presence. Excuse me, I've got a frog in my throat this morning. A day of Christ's presence. Now, excuse me, the Sabbath day has changed from the last day of the week to the first. The original pattern of 6 plus 1 has been replaced in the New Testament by 1 plus 6. It's a new pattern. Still 1 day in 7. It's now the first day of the week. It's moved from the Saturday to the Sunday. Who changed it? The only one with authority to change it, the Lord of the Sabbath. And again, I refer you to the CD where we go into the scriptural reasons why the day has changed. And in fact, also the day has changed out of its Old Testament clothes and has put on New Testament clothes. But Christian friends, on the first day of the week, what happened? Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples. The day of his presence. So you can see why the day has changed. If the seventh day marked the completion of God's work of creation, the first day of the week marks the completion of God's work of redemption. If God was refreshed on the seventh day, Jesus lives again on the first day. If the seventh day reminds us of the week of creation, the first day reminds us of the new creation. And as we look at what God has done, this great salvation, we look at it and we declare that it is very good. And we mark the day with songs of praise and a joyful delight in God our Savior. It's the day of resurrection. Jesus lives. Jesus ever lives. It is therefore the day of his presence. Again, think about it. On that resurrection day, Jesus meets with his disciples and he calms their fears. He says, "Peace to you." It's a day when the disciples are filled with joy. Why? Because they've seen the Lord. It's the day, the following Sunday, when doubting Thomas is given that wonderful assurance and he exclaims, "My Lord and my God." It's the day when two weary, worn, sad disciples on their way to Emmaus are transformed. They have a real meeting with Jesus through his word. They have a heart-warming experience. Their hearts burn within them. And they want it to go on forever. Don't leave us. Abide with us. It's the day, Revelation 1 verse 10, where it's called the Lord's Day, where John is in the Spirit. And on the Isle of Patmos, he meets with the Alpha and the Omega, and he sees into heaven. Do you see? It's a day of his presence. Do you want to keep our children from that? Do you want your children to see Jesus? Do you want them to meet with him through his word? To receive peace and joy and assurance in knowing him? Do you want them to fall down and worship? Do you want them to so know his presence that they never want to let him go? Do you want them to see into heaven? Number four, it's the day of his power. What day was the day of Pentecost? It's the first day of the week. It's a Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. Again, think about it. What's God saying? When did the Spirit come? When were the disciples equipped for service? When were 3,000 converted through the preaching of the gospel? When was the first baptismal service? When was the New Testament church born? On the Lord's Day. It's a day of his power. We want to keep our children from that? Christian friends, how many of us were converted on a Sunday? We went down, we probably find that those of us who can remember a day, most of us would be converted on a Sunday. Or most of us would have come to our assurance. Maybe we were converted before then, but the day we really had assurance, I've been saved, was a Sunday. It's the case of most of us. That's why we preach the gospel today. That's why we're committed to an evangelistic children's Bible club today. And that's why we train our children to keep Sunday special. The day is holy. God says so. It's not like the other six. Number five, because it's a foretaste of heaven. In the Old Testament, the Lord's Day refers to the last day of history, when God will again create heavens and an earth and the earth, but it'll be the new heavens and the new earth, where there'll be no more curse. Do you see, this day is a reminder of that day, that day of eternal rest. Today is the first fruits of that everlasting rest. Today, in a special way, we enter into the rest that Jesus has won by his work on the cross. So often on the Lord's Day, the cross and Christ and all that it means comes with a freshness and a power. It's different. Of course it is. Today's a foretaste of heaven, of the eternal Sabbath. So do you want your children to be heavenly minded? Do you want your children to be prepared for the day when they must leave this world? And who knows when that will be? Do you want your children to be unashamed at the Lord's return? Then train them to keep the Lord's day. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So five reasons why we need to train our children to keep the Lord's day. Because, number one, it's a God-like thing to do. We want to be like God. God keeps it. Number two, it's the day that God has tailor-made. His wonderful wisdom. He's made it for our physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. Number three, it's the day of Christ's presence. Number four, it's the day of Christ's power. And number five, it's a foretaste of the glory that is to come. Do you see, the day is holy. It's different from the other 6 days. That's the point. And we don't just keep half the commandment. We don't say, oh, great, I don't have to work today. Which is wonderful, that's true. But the commandment goes on, keep it holy. Keep it different from the other six. Why the New Testament church met together on the first day of the week. It's on the CD as well. You see, people say, where is it? But there are references where the New Testament church met together on the first day of the week. Now then, I don't think the problem is getting our children to keep this day. I think the problem is getting their parents to keep it. Do you remember our spiritual equation? Do you remember how it works? If you're half-hearted about spiritual things, then those you seek to influence will have no interest at all. If you're lukewarm about the Lord's Day, then those you're seeking to train will be stone cold. If you drag your feet on this holy day, your children will think it's drudgery. If you've got difficulties, then what chance have they got? So, Christian friend, do you keep this day holy? Do you keep it different from the other six? Do you build your life around it? Have you really got under the skin of this day? Come with me to Isaiah chapter 58. I'm sorry, I haven't got a page number for it, but Isaiah 58. Now, what's the context of this chapter? The context is a miserable, unloving, cold, burdensome, bad-tempered, self-seeking religion. Verse 5. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast? And an acceptable day to the Lord? So what's God's remedy dealing with this cold, pernickety, miserable religion? What's God's remedy? What would be your remedy? Well, God's remedy is an open-hearted love for one another and a wholehearted devotion to Him. And where will it be seen? What's the real test of heart religion? What's the barometer of my devotion to Jesus? It says, God, it's in your keeping of my day. That'll show you where you're really at. Verse 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Do you see what God says? The Sabbath, it's not a fast. You go down, go around with the size of your mouth turned down, and it's a miserable day. It's a feast. It's not a desert. It's a garden. It's a delight. And yes, there are negatives. Not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. It's not a day just for doing as I please. I don't keep it like the other 6 days. But the negatives are there to clear away the clutter, to get rid of the distractions, so I can be single-minded in delighting in the Lord. Anything which militates against the keeping of this day, sweep it away. Now, husbands, wives, you go out for that special evening. What do? Ignore each other? You say, I'll be with you in a minute, darling. I'm just going to go and play football with the lads. Of course I love you. It's just that I just want to watch my program. What would that say about the state of your relationship? You can do those things anytime, can't you? This is a special night out. This is a night we've been looking forward to. We've put it in our diary. It's time to be together. And those other things, they're imposters on a night like tonight. They don't belong here. So you say no to those things, which is another time a perfectly okay, because of the strength of your yes to being with the one that you love. I want special, unhurried, uninterrupted time with my love. We all understand that, don't we? So I have 6 days, says God. 6 days to do all those other things, to watch your TV, go shopping, play sport. It's not much to set aside one day to be with Jesus, to be with him in a special way. What does it say about my relationship if I can't be bothered to keep Sunday special? To meet with the Lord's people. To say, oh, yeah, okay, I'll keep it for half the day. Sunday morning's okay, but I know I could come on Sunday evening to hear God's word and to be with God's people, but I want other things, get on with other things. And you see, God is so much more practical than we are. He's realistic. Of course every day is special when we're walking with the Lord. Of course every day we live in fellowship with him. But God knows that if I don't keep one day special, if I don't set aside one day, I'll end up setting aside no special time to be with him. So he says, put it in your diary, one day a week, special time with me. He's being practical. Otherwise there'll be no special times. Every day will be like every other day. This is a day for delighting in the Lord, and when I find those imposters, kick them out. And his promise to me, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. If I keep this day, it will become to me the best of days. And I'll enjoy the Lord as I've never enjoyed him before. Because as I give myself to my relationship, as I run to him, what will I find? He runs to me, and he embraces me, and he ravishes my heart. It's heart religion, isn't it? It's saying, I am my beloved's, and he is mine. And I've been through the desert of this week, and I'm dry and parched and cold and dull, and I know my heart, it will wander, and it's wandering already. But I come to him, and what do I find? Upon that dry, dusty ground, he pours out his living water, and I revive, I live again. Jesus is real to me, and it's all wonderful, and I'm a new person, and I'll enjoy the blessings of his day as I've never done before. And in fact, I'll be thinking on Sunday evening, it'd be a good day to die. I want to die on a Sunday evening because I've already tasted heaven, and I want to be with him tonight. You ever feel like that on a Sunday evening? It's a good day to die. So, Mum and Dad, are you persuaded to keep the whole of his day special, holy, unlike the other six? And Christian friends, those of you who are not haven't got children, the children of the church are watching you, aren't they? Young people, the children of the church are watching you just like you used to watch others. And older people, the children of the church are watching you. What do they see? What do they think? Do you call the Sabbath day a delight? Do you honor him? Not letting Monday morning creep into Sunday evening? In one sense, we get from this day what we expect to get. We're blessed in proportion to our expectations. And if this day doesn't rise much above the other days, because we just treat it like the other days, little surprise, the Lord's Day doesn't mean much to me, and I wonder what all the fuss is about. And in fact, I'll end up continuing on my lukewarm way, content in the knowledge that I'm not cold. Yeah, but neither am I really happy, am I? Because I haven't really had a day when I felt his kisses, and he's pressed himself to me, and my Lord has been here, and he really has caught me, and it's all Jesus, and I want nothing else. We don't live that lukewarm way, do we? You will be as blessed as much as you want to be blessed. So are you building your lives around this day, Christian friends? If you like, this is the weekly shopping trip for the soul, where I get everything that I need. And if you don't keep this day special, when you open the cupboards of your soul, they'll be bare. There'll be nothing in there. If you live this day aright, you will live the other days aright. If today you've been with Jesus, it will show itself in the other 6 days. If every day you read your Bible and pray, but you don't keep this day holy and special, then you're backsliding. Because God commands you to remember the Sabbath day, your appointment with me, he says, and to keep this day holy. The problem is not our children. The problem is convincing us to keep this day holy. Are you convinced, Christian friends? Point number two, moving on more quickly. How then do you engender in our children a love for this day? Well, in one sense, we've already answered it, haven't we? If our children see mum and dad's delight in this day, if they see their mum and dad's enthusiasm to get here on time, to go home talking about the things of Christ, to see their mums and dads, their hearts burning within them, then they'll know this day is special. But why do children look forward to birthdays? Why do children like going around to granny's? Why? Because the day is different, isn't it? It's special. And that's the key. Now, we can do practical things. When they're young, you can have a Sunday box in which are particular activities and toys which they don't see the rest of the week. And you can make it all bright and attractive and cover it, and out on Sunday comes a Sunday box and all the things that they haven't seen since last Sunday. There are Sunday games. I don't think we should go around with grim, miserable time and allowed to whistle or run up the stairs or anything like that. Sunday games, which bring the family together or which can be played in twos, which are part of the Sunday routine. And Sunday treats, sweets, surprises, which they don't normally get the other 6 days. And in fact, when they grow up and they get older, they still ask for their Sunday treats. But I think the key to this day is relationships. The Lord's Day is all about relationships. Relationships to God and relationships to one another. Relationships. So think. Child's mind. On Sunday, no school. On Sunday, mum and dad are at home, as much as that can be the case. We know there are people have different responsibilities sometimes. On Sunday, we're all together. On Sunday, we sit down at a meal, and the food is special. On Sunday, we have unhurried time with each other, and I've got no homework. And I haven't got the usual jobs I have to do around the home. And on Sunday, we meet with other families, and I meet with my friends. Friends I perhaps haven't seen since last Sunday. And we don't go to church. We meet with the church. The church is the people. Here are my friends. And not just those of my own age. I'm friends with the young people. That big lad up there, he talks to me, takes an interest in me. And I've got aunts and uncles all over the place. And they want to talk with me and tell me what, find out what's been going on in my week. Oh, it's a really good day. And they're friendly to me. Relationships, and the most important relationship of all. You see, it's Sunday, this resurrection day, this day of Christ's presence, this day of Christ's power, this day when Jesus comes to meet with his people and expound them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. This is the day when our children can know a real meeting with Christ. Well, they may not put it like that, but actually they'll know this day was different. Maybe not every day, Sunday, but there'll be a Sunday, and it was different today. It was special. I've never felt like this before. Because their hearts are being strangely warmed. And maybe it was something in the children's talk, morning school, something in the preaching, something in Sunday Bible club, something in family worship, something that I just sat down with Auntie so-and-so, and she talked to me, and the Bible seemed to be real. And the child's got lots of questions. And sometimes at the day's end, the child, you put them to bed, but they get up and they say, I've got questions. And I want to talk. I want to talk about becoming a Christian. Next week we'll talk about child conversion. And Christian friends, if we meet together on a Sunday, let's go home together. Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. Sunday's the day for opening our homes, opening our families, welcoming the family of the church in. It's a day for hospitality. And as I give hospitality, and as others in the church come into my home, my child will have an ever-growing sense of belonging. This isn't just what mum and dad do, and I have to go along with them. This is something we all do. I'm part of this. And your child will build a whole spectrum of friendships with Christians. And far from this day being boring, and what do we do now? What do we do now? It'll be filled with a holy, happy, heavenly atmosphere. Indeed, our children will soon be asking, well, who's coming to lunch today? And they'll be disappointed if no one's coming. So, Christian friends, do you give hospitality? If you don't, then you and your children will feel more on the outside of things than on the inside. Anyway, what happens when my children leave home? They go to college. They go to another church. Why should they be welcomed into other homes if I've never welcomed people into my home? Luke 6, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So, Christian friends, do you give hospitality? Now, we know that there are sometimes practical difficulties. And we know sometimes it's been an awful 6 days and we're exhausted. And the wise and sensible thing to do is actually you need to have a real rest and a break. Sometimes things have been so hectic and so on and you've hardly seen each other as a family. We know that there are those practical things. And we know, too, that the behavior of our children embarrasses us. We've all been there, haven't we? You bring people into your home and your children do terrible things. And we all feel ashamed. We've all been there. And those who come into our homes have got to sometimes simply close their eyes to the clutter because we haven't been able to get it all perfectly as we would like. We've got children. And we're not providing a banquet. We're sharing what we have. And if that's all it is a cup of coffee and a packet of ginger nuts, better that than nothing. And maybe I can only do half the day. And I'll meet and I'll sort something out and we'll share things. Come to us for lunch and go there for tea. And let's meet up with others in the afternoon and go for a walk. But you know, if we wait for the perfect time to open our homes, we'll wait forever. It will never come. Sometimes we just have to do it. And as we do it, we trust the consequences to God, knowing that when we give, what happens, God gives to us. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. To everybody, not just those who've got children. Do you open your homes? Do you? Why don't you? You believe God has given you a home, don't you? Well, how does God want you to use your home? What's the God-glorifying thing to do with your home? How can you use it for His glory? What do we read about the early church? They broke bread from house to house. Why? Because there was no church buildings. There were no church buildings for about 300 years. Where did they meet? They met in each other's homes. Maybe that's why there was a certain heat and temperature in their spiritual life and their relationships with one another, because they were in each other's homes all the time. So Christian friends, bite the bullet. Open your home. Simple, practical way. You can write it down in a place to start. Go on the student's rota. You're on the student's rota? Why not? Students are very easy. They're very domesticated. And they're great with children. Do you see? How do we engender a love for this day in our children? There's no magic bullet. There's no sort of, we can pull it down, this is what you do. We simply clear away the clutter of the other 6 days. And at times that does mean we have to make a stand. We've been invited to go bowling or laser quest or something, and we say, well, I'm sorry, no. We keep this day differently. And they could go and play in the team on this day. And we say, no, it's different this day. But we come together as the family of the church, and we meet under his word. And if we come together, we go home together. And we share the day with the people of God. And as we do, we find that we live each hour in his immediate presence. And what we're doing is we're weaving the fabric of this holy day into the lives of our children. And as we do it in trust. If there was a simple solution, we could put it off the shelf. Where would be the faith in that? We live this day in trust to him, saying, Lord, you promised special blessings for this day. I'm trusting you, therefore, to own those promises. We weave it into our children's lives, and we claim the promise that then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Do you see? If I keep this day, I will find it to be a highway to the Lord himself. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I'll be able to face the other 6 days with confidence. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. And I will feast to my soul's satisfaction on all the blessings which are to be found in Christ, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's sing a hymn.